Welcome to Longview Baptist Church. Where will you spend your eternity? This is a question that does have an answer, even if you don't know what it is. I am Pastor John. This ministry is designed to prepare you for that day we will all face, our last. Join us as we find an answer to the tough questions, and remember, you cannot truly live until you're truly ready to die. If you have it this morning, turn to Psalm chapter 100. We're going to look at verses 1 through 5 this morning of a message that God laid on my heart that goes in line. As a matter of fact, what it does, you know how I'm one that really likes to try to grasp things and to so that we're present in whatever it is that we're in the midst of. You know, with Advent, next week we'll start the Advent series as we celebrate the coming of Jesus Christ's birth. We celebrate his birth with Christmas. So right now, what we're going to do is kind of set the stage for this week we have called Thanksgiving. And I always say this, I hope I continue, and God gives me the awareness of this, to help us to understand that Thanksgiving is not just a day we celebrate once a year at the end of November. This is an attitude that we should be in continually, because God is good. No matter what we're facing right now, no matter the heartache and heartbreak of my dear brother in Christ, Tommy Dye, as he's spending his first Sunday morning at the throne in the presence of the God that week in and week out for decades, he shouted, he proclaimed, he is now in the presence of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen? That's exciting, because the God's word says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So I know one thing, when you and I take our last breath one day, they will say, well, he's died. No, I will promise you that I'll be more alive than I've ever been in my lifetime. And yes, you will grieve, and I will grieve if you go on before me, but there is nothing to grieve for that person that has been transported into the place that the Bible says, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard what's in store for those who love him. And that is so exciting. Doesn't give us that desire or ability, though, to have a fatalistic approach of, well, I just want to go die then. No, we got to stay faithfully committed to God's work, his will, his plan, because there are lots of people all around us on any given day that don't know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. There's a lot of people right now that need the hope that the gospel, the good news of the gospel brings to us. And you and I are the hands and feet of Christ, and we have been called to make sure that they hear that. So we have a lot of work to do, amen? And we need to be faithful, and we need to live like God's not going to send Jesus to call us back home for 1,000 years. And if it's 3 days from now, that's fine, because we are to run the race to completion, is what it says. And that starts the day that we give our lives to Jesus Christ and ends with salvation. The process now we're in is sanctification, as God's refining us and growing us. And that will culminate one day in that glorious event called glorification. That's when we stand and hear those words, well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter into your rest. Praise God, glory, hallelujah. I hope you found this morning's scripture, again in Psalm chapter 100. We're going to look at 5 verses, 1 through 5. And if you this morning are physically able, let's stand out of reverence for the reading of God's word. I'm reading this morning out of the King James. I normally don't. I use the Holman Christian Standard, but this I like the way the King James is worded in this. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Father, thank you this morning, God, for the promise of your word. Father, is God the preeminence, the place of number one, is shown in these verses that we read this morning that you deserve to be in. Father, God, we thank you, Lord, that you're a wonder-working, marvelous, loving, compassionate, gracious, slow to anger, rich in mercy, God. Today, I thank you, Lord, that you know exactly where every single one of us is at. Father, I thank you, Lord, that your desire is to bring us, to refine us, and that culminate in that day that we enter your presence as a born-again child of you, saved by the grace of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the blood that was spilled in love, our righteousness that day. God, this morning, Lord, I pray that you would move in hearts. Lord, I pray that you would minister as only you can to needs that you may only know today. God, I pray, Lord, that the glory and the radiance of Christ, the holiness of you, would infect every one of us, Lord. Your glory would radiate on our faces, Lord. It would literally course through our bodies, Father, that we might leave here today more challenged, more encouraged, more ready to go out there and be a lighthouse, Father, a city set on a hill that the world might see your glory lived out in our life. Father, we just thank you, we praise you, but most of all, for Jesus, your precious Son, that gave his life for us. And today, we live because he lives. And we ask it in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. You know, I really don't think there's a better scripture as God laid this message on my heart to kind of help us transition into a proper mindset this Thanksgiving week. I can't believe it's Thanksgiving, really. And in light of all the loss this year, the trials, the uncertainty, there is really no greater scripture to me that would be fitting for this day, and I believe that's why God laid it on my heart. Again, I think that every day we should live with an attitude of thanksgiving, an attitude of understanding that we should never take anything or anyone for granted. I'm telling you, if any year or any day that we have ever been made more aware of how fragile life is, it has been this year, church. Life is fleeting. It is a vapor. It is here and gone. It's a mist. I said at the breakfast table this morning, don't blink because Sunday's going to be over if you do. And I say that in jest, but you know why I say that? I say that because every day to me, no matter what I do, I cannot slow time down. I can't slow not only a day down, but brothers and sisters, years. Like Brother Charles said a few years ago to me, I've never forgot it and I never will. I said, man, time flies. He said, you've not seen anything yet. And he's right, because every single year it gets faster and faster. And I recognize that I cannot hold on to anything, much less time. Listen to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. It calls us, give thanks in everything, for this is God's will in Christ Jesus concerning you. That's what God's word says, in all things. Now, the interesting part of that is those three letters in the word, A-L-L, all. That doesn't give us any ability at that point to say, well, I'm in a trial right now, so I'm thankful about all these other things, but those trials, Lord, I struggle with being, I'm out on that one. No. The Bible says in all things, give thanks. Why? Because this is God's will in Christ Jesus concerning who? You and me. Well, so what other aspects of praise, glory, and thanksgiving can we adopt this morning to transition into the proper mindset spiritually as we go into Thanksgiving week, no matter what our situation might be? Listen to verse 1 and 2 again. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with, gladness. Come before his presence with singing. We'll stop. First thing that I want to share with you comes from those two verses, and it's this. We are called to rejoice, to be glad, and to worship with singing.
Now, how many times have you or I said to someone, well, I don't sound real good. You know what? That doesn't say anything about if you sound good, come before his presence with singing. By the way, you've got to understand when you're in here in worship, by the way, y'all sound amazing this morning. I about had a spell up there. I'm not even joking. It was profound. That was an act of worship, and that was a sacrifice before King Jesus this morning, if I've ever seen one, of genuine, authentic worship. Praise God. Amen? That was exciting. That just stirred my heart. We could have just gone on, I'll be honest with you. But you know what? This morning, it sounded amazing, and it was awesome, but guess what? We weren't singing to each other. We were singing to Jesus. We were singing to the one that deserves the glory, the praise, and the honor, the one that died for us, the one that's worthy because he died. He paid the price. He holds the title deed to hell and death. And it has no hold on us. It has no victory because he paid the price. Look at Revelation. What an awesome truth. What an awesome is John's crying. Oh, no, there's no one worthy. And then what? Whoa, the Lion, the tribe of Judah, he is worthy to take the scroll, meaning the souls of us, earth, was in the balance. Before that, the enemy had the title deed to us. He owned us because of sin. And at that moment in history, for the first time, we were no longer a guaranteed slave to sin and the consequences of dying and being separated from God. At that moment, life, freedom, forgiveness was birthed as Jesus took back what had been stolen. So that's why we worship him. That's why he deserves our praise. That's why he deserves the honor and the glory, because he paid that price. So we do not have to be the objects of God's wrath no longer. We can be the objects of God's mercy and forgiveness, not because we deserve it either. It's because he loves us that much. This morning, we're called to rejoice because of that as followers of Christ. We worship. We're glad. Why am I glad this morning? Doesn't have anything to do this morning with the circumstances externally of my life. This gladness, this joy, this singing and rejoicing has nothing to do with the circumstances of life. As a matter of fact, it has everything to do with the removal of those and the complete focus on who we are in Jesus Christ and who we are as a redeemed follower of the Lord with a future and a hope because of the finished work of Christ. That, this morning, is why we should rejoice, why we should sing, and why we should worship. Because the more we grow in Christ and the more we read God's word, the more aware we become of the fact that we don't deserve it, and the more amazing it becomes, and the love of God is magnified to new heights in that understanding. You tracking with me? Amen. The deeper you grow spiritually, the more you'll recognize we don't deserve it, and the more God's love just increases in our understanding, and it leaves us, honestly, in wonder and in awe. It does me. You know, you think about March, the week of March 9th through 15th of 2020 will be forever seared in my memory. Not only will it be seared in my memory because my brother that just died 2 days ago, his son-in-law, his daughter's husband, died in very sad circumstances. So that was a riveting week to me. It was a sad week. He's a dear friend. But after we have this funeral and that week's over, I had a meeting on Monday night at Edgemont Baptist that I will never again forget. We'll never forget. It was with Scott Johnson, the Emergency Management Agency Director for Bedford County, who was also a follower of Jesus Christ, and that's where he had the pastors from all different denominations all over the three, four counties, whatever they're comprised of. And that's when he started sharing this COVID thing. I didn't have no idea what Wuhan flu was, the Chinese flu. I had no idea what it was. All I'd heard is it started in a bat market over in Wuhan province, and I didn't want nothing to do with it. But we saw in a moment what happens when we take for granted that thing we call us worship. See, hey, listen, it can never happen. They'll never shut it down in America. Oh, no, it couldn't happen. Remember, we're America. You want to take something for granted, friends? I know one thing. If we did, we learned a really rich lesson this year, didn't we? Don't think because you're part of America that you are entitled to anything special. It can happen anywhere, church. Anywhere. At any time. And those things today, if you often will say this to people just to get them, it's kind of a mental exercise. Imagine right now, if after you got done in the morning with your Bible time and your prayer, if the only things that we had tomorrow morning were the things that we had thanked God for this morning. You ever had one of those? I'll excuse myself right now after thinking something like that. Because maybe you recognize that you really didn't think. You went straight into God. You know right now I need a car. I need a this or I need a that. We forgot. I call it PACTS. Praise, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and then supplication. It's kind of a little model that I help in prayer to keep me focused. Because I'm ADD, y'all know. But imagine if those days that we recognize, wow, I spent more time asking God for something, but spent no time thanking him for what he's already blessed me with. If I only had tomorrow, truly, think about it sometime, what I'd thanked him for. How many of us would be in serious trouble? See, the problem is, though, we might go, well, he knows I'm thankful. Whoa, 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 whoa. You look at the scripture. Bible says, in all things give thanks. You can't say, well, oh, wait, the Bible doesn't tell me. No, 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 no. Come before him with thanksgiving. Know ye that he is God. He made us. We are the sheep of his pasture. Meaning it's all over scripture about us being thankful and giving thanksgiving that rightfully is due him. We all learned real quick. There is one certainty, and I'm not even going to do that old thing about taxes thing. There is one certainty, brother and sister in Christ, in the earthly perspective, and that is the uncertainty. It's uncertain. Things are, in this earthly sense, extremely uncertain, extremely fragile. I was in Washington, D.C. on 9/11. You want to tell me that I don't understand how things can change catastrophically at any moment? I used to get on a plane with those big totes, the big, I don't even know what gallon they are, they're big. And I used to take about four of them onto the airplane. I had my gas nailers on there, my gas cylinders. Go try to do that now. It was a whole different world back then. Instantaneously changed forever. The uncertainty of things. But see, God's word doesn't say, hey, give thanks in everything and make a joyful noise unto me if everything fits within the scope of what you or I believe it should be or if it fits in our comfort mold. No. There are no limits here. God says in all things, give thanks. And he says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. There's no exclusionary boundaries in that at all. And it says, serve him with gladness. How many times do we serve him begrudgingly? I'll tell you what. If I knew God wouldn't be mad at me, I wouldn't do nothing for anybody. But I'll tell you what, you know, I want God to love me more, so, oh, please. I always tell people this when they ask me about serving and stuff. I said, don't ever forget. Don't ever do it because you like me or you like Longview Baptist Church. I said, you make sure if you're serving, you're serving King Jesus because that's what matters. When you're working in that nursery with those, I call them the nose miners. We got a bunch of them at our house. The nose miners, that ministry is a tough one, right, with littles? You know, and you're like, oh, not again. You are actually able to be the face, the hands, and the feet of Jesus, y'all. What an honor. What a privilege. I know some people when I was a little one that have had life-changing impacts in a positive spiritual way right now when I could barely walk. I'll never forget them. We forget. Ready? Whatever you've done to the least, Matthew 25, the least of these you have done unto me. To God be the glory. You know that when you sit, as I have in the last week, I've had a lot of ministry stuff in the last week with people that are struggling, and hey, it matters. They matter. Talked to one person yesterday, struck three times. In the hospital, struggling three times. Need talk. Said, I'm sorry, you're not bothering me. That's why we're here for one another. Amen. We got to love each other and we've got to care because it's important to them. And it should be important to us because we got to do it with gladness. Now, at times we get tired and we want to say, you know, I'm kind of tired. I wish maybe if you get a bunch of calls, you have to do something. You might go, you know, I wish with all space always happens at one time. You ever notice that in life? I wish I could have things in life spaced out so you could give people more time individually, right? But it doesn't happen that way, does it? So we can't do it begrudgingly. We've got to recognize that we are the hands and the feet of Jesus, and we are to do it joyfully with gladness and to come before his presence with singing, even after we're worn out. That's why this morning, I was actually up at 1 o'clock. And after I got done reading my Bible, man, I put on those earphones. Boy, brother, I tell you, that worship's tight, isn't it, man? Woo! Man, I tell you, I was listening to praise and worship. It was phenomenal. And that's all I have to struggle because in the mornings I want to start humming or singing, and I got to be careful because everybody's in the house. I'll wake everybody up. They won't be real joyful and glad if I did that. Even though I'm rejoicing and I'm worshiping, I've got to understand they've got to have a little more sleep than I do. But see, I have to get my mind in a mind frame of worship, because if I sit back and dwell on my physical feeling or what my bones feel like or my back feels like or the overwhelming weight of situations that I have to deal with sometimes with people, you think that'll create a mindset of joy? You think you want to rejoice? No, you've got to create an atmosphere, and you have to do what? Beat your body to make it your slave, as Paul says. Take up your cross and follow him. Who? Jesus. It's an everyday thing. It's every day when Joshua, choose you this day whom you will serve, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. It's every single day, church. This week at Thanksgiving, start a mindset that doesn't end when this weekend's over and you go, oh, it's back to normal. No, stay in that attitude of Thanksgiving. Thank God for every single blessing of life that he's given you so that if you ever lose it, you will have been able to understand and be able to stand before him with a clear heart because you thanked him and you gave him the glory, the honor, and you know that that season was closed and you don't have to look back on it going, you know, I wonder if God took that from me because I was not thankful for that blessing. See, life is uncertain, but there's certainty in Christ. There's certainty as a follower of Jesus Christ at height nor depth, angels, principalities, nothing in all of creation can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. It's a promise, Romans 8, 38 and 39. It's a promise. Nothing. It's a sure thing. Nothing can separate us. Listen to verse 3 and 4 again. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. The second thing that I want to share with you comes from those two verses, and it's this. The reason we should be thankful and worship God is that he made us and we are his. We have an obligation to worship and to be thankful to the Lord of creation because we are His creation. What better reason? What better reason? Let's not even talk about all the other things in life, your struggles, your battles, or the other blessings that God's given you. And we don't even have to talk about the valleys that God has carried you through. And many of us, at times, the valley of the shadow of death that you and I have been in at times, whether you realize it or not. You don't even have to realize about the times that God supernaturally protected us. Those are all over and aboves. Just think about the very gift of life, the precious children you may have, or if you don't have children, the people in your life that you've been able to be, in a sense, a parent to, and people you've been able to be blessed with being an influence on or encouragement in. And just think about those reasons to be thankful. See, He made us. Without Him making you, you would never have known the joy of your family, your children. You'd never know the joy of salvation because you would have never existed. Is that not a reason enough to give Him praise and thanksgiving? What's your worship, your joy? How about setting it on the mere fact that, you know, I know Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. Let's not even think about the other blessings that God gave us, just the spiritual one of being an adopted, born-again follower of Jesus Christ with full rights. Is that not reason enough to be overwhelmed in worship and in thanksgiving and in joy, and to enter His presence with praise and to be thankful and to bless His name? See, we can sit here and go, and actually, if I started naming all of them, we wouldn't have enough time. But if we really recognize how good God's been to us, one of the songs, I can't remember the name of the group that sings it, it's He's So Good. It's almost like the God is Good song, but it's not. And it talks about lists, your family, your children, your pastor, just all the times. If I had to list it, there's not enough time, so I'll just thank you for being so kind. God is good. It's just a really good song. As a matter of fact, I believe the first time I ever heard it was when I was watching Jimmy Tedder's funeral online. And the Warren girls, I think, sang it. Really good song. I want to tell you something today, church. God is good. He is real good. My question becomes, what about the blessings in your life that God's given you? And maybe you're not in a heart of worship, and maybe right now you're thinking about what you're going to make for Thanksgiving and the fight you're going to have with your uncle about politics at Thanksgiving this week. And you're sitting there right now on cloud nine, and you just zoomed in because I said that. My question to you is, what is God going to have to take away from you to bring you to a heart of thanksgiving? What is God going to have to take from you until you give Him the rightful thanksgiving and praise for all that He's blessed you with? Because a lot of times, you know what happens? We take things for granted. How many parents I've sat and talked to, and I've heard stories of husbands with wives and wives with husbands, and I mean, 9/11 had many of them, and how many times did those voicemails that they listened to, they didn't get to have that last conversation, and how many of the ones that said, you know, I remembered that morning, we were upset, we never said I love you, and I'll never be able to forget, see? It's taking things for granted, not recognizing that every time that we walk out the door, we see a loved one walk out the door, there is no assurance that that blessing will walk back in that door. There's no promise. So why don't we seize the moment now and be thankful for those blessings that God's given us? And yes, there is monotony in life, church. You know what monotony is? The same old daily thing. It's like, you know, come on. You know, it's like the feeling we get with a car, right? You buy a car and you're like, oh, I'll never want another car. It's awesome. And then 4 or 5 months later, when you get the payment book, you're like, that car ain't so nice and fun anymore and doesn't smell new. And I just kind of, you know, whatever. And you know, that's what happens with relationships, church. Don't forget this. And instead of tending the grass of the blessing that we have, we start looking over the fence. Well, look what they have over there. Why? Because we have an ungrateful heart we struggle with. It's part of the sin nature we struggle with. Why are we jealous of other people? Well, because why do you want to covet what they have? Well, because you feel like you deserve that. Don't worry, as followers of Christ, God's going to give you what he wants you to have. And if you don't have it, that means either his desire and his will for it is maybe not, or maybe it's not now. But with that mindset of looking over and wanting what somebody else has is the mindset that will destroy us, because what it's saying is, God, you haven't given me what I deserve. The same way with your car. Be thankful for your car. I don't care if it's an old jalopy that you don't like, gets bad gas mileage. You be thankful for it because God's given you that. Christ blessed you with it. You might not have a Rhodes Scholar as a spouse. You better be thankful for him. You might not have a child that has degrees or whatever. Maybe they're just content to have a little meagerly job, but they love Jesus. And, you know, in your heart, if you're honest, you go, you know, I just wish they'd go out there and get a degree or something. It's kind of embarrassing. I'll tell you one thing. I'd rather have a son and a daughter, sons and daughters, that work at the lowest of low in the most unimpressive field, that are bananas for Jesus and sold out to Christ, than to have someone who was bringing in millions but headed for hell. I want a family that knows, that loves, and wants to do God's will, because that is a legacy, but that is where true joy comes from, fulfillment and hope for the future. We struggle as Christians, church. You know this, don't we? We struggle with the trappings of world success, and we try to blend it and put a spiritual face on it. We try to say, God, just imagine if I go hit a big old lick, imagine what I can do for the church. At what cost? Again, I'm not tacking money. Please understand, I don't. Man, God bless his people. Praise God. Glory. Hallelujah. Use it for his kingdom. To God be the glory. Thank the Lord. God, we need people like you that can invest in the kingdom. But listen, I'm talking about when it's got the wrong perspective. When it's building the kingdom of self, detached from the kingdom of heaven. I'm talking about when it takes you captive or me captive, and we become its, not we aren't the master of what God's given us to use for his glory. It masters us. It's a wicked taskmaster. Everything in the proper perspective is awesome. But we've got to remember that it's got to be in the proper perspective. The reason we should be thankful and worship God, he made us, we are his. So everything that we have is on loan from him to use for his glory. Do you get that? Everything. Those aren't your kids. Those are God's on loan to us. That's not your husband. That's not your wife. They're on loan from God. By the way, for a short time. And they can be gone just like that. What is God going to have to take from us to put us in that proper heart, proper perspective? I hope nothing. But church, it happens. We see it every single day. Listen to verse 5 again. For the Lord is good. Oh, I love this. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. Final thing that I want to share with you this morning comes out of verse 5 there, and it is this. God's love, his goodness, mercy, and truth is eternal. It endures. We never have to worry that God's going to finally get fed up with us like humans do and say, you know what, I've had enough. We're not going to have to worry about that. And you know what, we know in the character of the person of God, on our worst day when we woke up and said, God, in my life be glorified, as we sing in that praise hymn, and we went out that day is on fire to honor and glorify Christ as you could ever imagine being, and we went out that day and literally you walked off your front porch and fell face first. You know, he loves you as much at that moment. than if you just preached to an auditorium of people and 1,000 people came to saving faith in Jesus Christ. You know this? He does. He loves us as much in the depth of our brokenness as he does when we're on a spiritual mountaintop. That's what's so awesome about his mercy. His mercies are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. God is faithful, church. Why should we be thankful and give him thanksgiving and sing praise to him? Because he's been so good. He's so faithful. As we enter this week, allow an all-consuming desire for God's love and his goodness and his mercy and his truth to flood your heart. Talk to him. Say, God, I want to be in a heart this week of worship and thanksgiving like I've never been. God, I don't, I'm scared to death. Everybody's going to think I've lost it and everything. Don't say that. God, I don't care if they think I've lost it. Father, fill me to overflowing with a joy and a peace and a hope this week. Father, let my family, let the people that I'll be around, God, see you in my life. Let them see the joy like never before, Father, so that they say, hey, what's going on with you? And you know what they've just done? Go and let old Jesus in. And you're able to share, you know what? God spoke to me last Sunday in a message, and I just recognized I'm a redeemed, bought for, and paid by the blood of Jesus Christ, follower of Jesus Christ, and I want to live like one. You'll either infectiously transform them and God will use that, or they'll say, oh, good to hear, and they'll excuse themselves from you, and then you won't have to be quiet about your joy in the Lord out of a fear that they're going to be pushed away by it. Let me challenge you to do something. You let your joy of the Lord push everyone away from you that you know. Why would you want to do that? I've been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. If you've got a problem with the Jesus that has saved me and the God that created me and the life that I live to him as a sacrificial act of worship, then we have no fellowship together. I'm no better than you. But if you don't like who I am, there's nothing I can do to change that. Only God can change your heart. And if you hate the person that I am in Christ, I cannot quiet. I cannot remove that. And if I'm silent, the rocks will cry out. So see, you've got a biblical reason to understand we cannot silence ourselves with this that matters so much. As I played for you Wednesday night, was it Wednesday night I played the Gillette Penn video? How much can you hate someone not to tell them that there's a real heaven and a real hell? An atheist saying this. How much could you hate someone? Let the joy of the Lord consume the very essence of your being this Thanksgiving. I promise you, you will not regret it. Worship with singing, with gladness. Live it. Let it change the very person you are. Remember, we serve the omnipotent rock burning on top of Mount Sinai. Hey, we serve the God that parted the Red Sea and allowed almost 1 million people to walk over on dry land, and then what? Killed the enemies by drowning Pharaoh and his army. That's the God we serve. Pastor Fred Thompson this week, he retired to Bedford County, died this week too. He didn't look that old either. People that just a couple of weeks ago were just as healthy and just as normal as everybody else. Let me assure you of something there, church, this morning. I want to promise you something. This life is fleeting. 61-year-old woman hit head on, went over the other lane on South Cannon there, just up just north of the armory. Just go look everywhere and anywhere. I'm saying this. I don't want to scare you. I'm not going to scare you into getting saved stuff. What I want you to understand is there are no promises, there are no guarantees that this afternoon we have. But there's a guarantee right now, you have right now. And if you're sitting there and you're going, you know what? Man, this is resonating with me. He's really doing something. Please let me just help you with something. Don't give me that credit. It's the Spirit of God that is lovingly helping you understand your need. It is not me at all. I cannot do anything to save you, change your heart, but God can. And if you feel that need to get right what's not right, that is God, and He's showing you His love like never before. And He's saying to you, I love you. I sent my Son Jesus to die for you, and I want to make you whole. But I can't make that decision for you. I've sent Him. I've paid the price. What more can He do? The Bible says what? I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and will open, I will come in. You know what that is? It's a call this morning by the Lord of creation. The greatest love. The greatest call of love you could ever imagine. And if that's you this morning, I want you to tell you, He is desiring to save you. He's desiring to take the mess that you have in your life right now. I know it firsthand. September 20, 2004, y'all, I was as lost as lost could ever mean. Having grown up in a Christian home, I knew it all. I knew all the songs. I knew how to act Christian, knew how to act church. I knew it all. But I didn't know Jesus. And I'll tell you what happened. 29 years old, I'll never forget that, I guess, the fourth bed over at Bedford County Hospital emergency room I laid down. I'll never forget. I said, Lord, I give you my, confess my sin. I gave my life and said, God, I don't want religion. I know it's a relationship with Jesus Christ, because I'd been stuck in religion and church. That is awful. But a relationship with Jesus Christ is transformational, and it's real. And that emptiness that the Spirit of God filled that day has never come back, church. I serve a risen Savior who's in the world today. I know that this morning. And if you know or don't know, I pray if you know today that there's recommitments, there's rededications, there's drawing that line in the sand and saying, this Thanksgiving's going to be different. God, use me. And if you would say, I don't know, I challenge you this morning not to leave this building without first confessing your sin and accepting the greatest invitation for broken mankind, not to get things fixed up and then come. The call of salvation is this: come just as you are. In the height of your brokenness, who did Jesus go to? The prostitutes, the tax collectors. He said, I've not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Let's pray. Father, thank you, God, this morning for truth, God, for the gospel. Lord, we thank you this morning as we go into Thanksgiving, Father, that one of us, and many of us who are followers of Christ, struggle at times, Lord, not being truly thankful. Lord, not having that attitude of Thanksgiving, seeing Thanksgiving as a day a year, and we get busy on asking you for things. God, today, your word is so clear. We should rejoice. We should pray. We should praise you. God, there's so much in your word that speaks to thanksgiving and worship and singing. You deserve it. God, you sent Jesus. He paid the price for us. And Lord, I thank you for that. Lord, as we get ready to go into this invitation time, Father, I pray as you've worked in hearts that ones not only have heard it, but will now respond to your Spirit's convicting power in whatever form, in whatever area you're working on them in. Ones today that maybe not living in joy, they've not been worshiping you with gladness and singing. Today, God, as you've convicted them of that, that today they'll rededicate their life to saying, you and you alone are worth it, Father. You are worthy. Lord, today, take those areas of darkness out of our life that the enemy wants to use to keep us silent about what's so important, what's so awesome, Father, and shine the light of truth in there. And as we yield these areas to you, God, use that in a mighty way to reach those that we know. Lord, maybe ones today that don't know you as Lord and Savior, as I shared about the brokenness of sin, Father, they're you know hearts, God, the ones in here that are struggling with that and believing right now, Lord, that their life is not where it needs to be. They know that something's not been right, and today you've moved in their heart. God, I pray that they would respond to that loving call today that says, come just as you are. Father, there is no greater joy than to know you, to know the forgiveness, the peace, the hope, and the thanksgiving, Father, that happens when you truly experience salvation and that relationship with you. God, we commit this invitation to you. God, have your way in this midst. I thank you for each person, each family represented here. And God, I thank you that faith comes by hearing and hearing through the word of God. I thank you that your word changes hearts, lives, eternities, and generations, God. May you be glorified, lifted up, and honored. And we ask this in the precious name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. We pray that God's word has encouraged you. You feel like you've had fellowship and been at home with family. Today, if God has moved in your heart, and today you would like to make him not only the Savior, but the Lord of your life, first, it's important to know that we are sinners. We're born sinners. No one can bridge the gap that was separated when sin broke what God had created so beautifully. If today you know you're a sinner in need of a Savior, and you know that Jesus Christ was born, lived a sinless life, and died on the cross to pay for your sin. Today, if you want to, you can trust him as your Lord and Savior. It requires you to pray and in faith, ask him to save you, to forgive you of your sins, to cleanse you, and you want to live for him. I pray today, if you do that, that you will reach out to us. We would love to get you connected in a church body, a church home, wherever that might be, and get discipleship around you so you can grow in this new life that you found in Christ. Read God's word. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. God bless you.